So today we are continuing reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled The Status Quo, Chapter Number 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, Text Number 4, word for word meanings, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, Va,
This present form.
Bhuvana Mangala.
O you, who are all auspicious for all the universes.
Mangalaya. For the sake of all prosperity.
Dhyane.
In meditation.
As it were. Naha.
Unto us.
Darshitam.
Manifested.
Pure.
Upasakanam.
Of the devotees.
Tasmai.
Unto him.
Namaha.
My respectful obeisances.
Bhagavate.
Unto the personality of Godhead.
Anuvidhema.
I perform.
Tubhyam.
Unto you.
Yaha. Which.
Anadritaha.
Is neglected.
Naraka bhagvihi.
By persons destined for hell.
Asat prasangai.
By material topics. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Translation. This present form or any transcendental form expanded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, is equally auspicious for all the universes. Since you have manifested this eternal personal form upon whom your devotees meditate, I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Those who are destined to be dispatched to the path of hell neglect your personal form because of speculating on material topics. Purport. Regarding the personal and impersonal features of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personal forms exhibited by the Lord in His different plenary expansions are all for the benediction of all the universes. The personal form of the Lord is also worshipped in meditation as Supersoul, Paramatma. But the impersonal Brahmajyoti is not worshipped. Persons who are addicted to the impersonal feature of the Lord, whether in meditation or otherwise, are all pilgrims to hell because, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 12.5, impersonalists simply waste their time in mundane mental speculation because they are addicted more to false arguments than to reality. Therefore, the association of the impersonalists is condemned herewith by Brahma. All the plenary expansions of the personality of Godhead are equally potent. And as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.46, Deepa chireva hida shantaram abhyupetya deepa yate vivrita hetu samana dharma Yastadrik eva hicha vishnu taya vibhati govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The Lord expands Himself as the flames of a fire expand one after another. Although the original flame or Shri Krishna is accepted as Govinda, the Supreme Person, all other expansions such as Ram, Narsingha, and Varaha are as potent as the original Lord. All such expanded forms are transcendental. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is made clear that the Supreme Truth is eternally uncontaminated by material touch. There is no jugglery of words and activities in the transcendental kingdom of the Lord. All the Lord's forms are transcendental, and such manifestations are ever identical. The particular form of the Lord exhibited to a devotee is not mundane, even though the devotee may retain material desire. Nor is it manifest under the influence of material energy, as is foolishly considered by the impersonalists. Impersonalists who consider the transcendental forms of the Lord to be products of the material world are surely destined to hell, for hell. ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप गदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो इन द होल क्रिएशन वी हैव टू पार्ट्स वन इज द स्पिरिचुअल रियल्म एंड वन इज द मटेरियल रियल्म. In the spiritual realm, nothing is created or destroyed in material sense. It's always been there and it will always remain. But in material realm, things are sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. In second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructs Arjuna. He tells him about the nature of soul, because Arjun had a problem. He was considering that he was going to kill his relatives and close family members and friends. But Krishna told him that body and soul are different. So, and you cannot kill the soul. And the body is made out of matter. It is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest. When someone is born, that means the body is born. Soul is never born. Its soul is unborn. So when the body is born, you can say it's a creation. And then the body dies. And that's like an annihilation of the body. So the body of a human being or any other living entity is kind of a small universe, you can say. It has its own function and it's compact within itself, it's complete. So Krishna tells Arjuna that anyway body is going to become unmanifest. Whether you kill them or not, they will die anyway. Avyakta dini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidhananyeva tatra kapari devana. So in the beginning body is manifest. In the middle it stays for some time. And then in the end it's unmanifest again. So then why are you lamenting for the body? So that's the vision of a spiritualist. He can understand that everything material is temporary. It's created at a point and then it will be destroyed. So what's the point of being attached to the temporary thing? When we know something's going to go and we think that it will never go. So that's a very illusory concept. So we should be intelligent. We shouldn't be attached to temporary things. So here we see that Lord Brahma is praying because he is empowered by Krishna himself and he has a strong desire to create. But he understands that things will be destroyed. But because that's his role, that's his service, that's his desire, so he does it. But in his prayers, we can see that how he is fully intelligent and how he understands what's the real personal nature of the Supreme Lord. So in today's verse, Brahma is deriding all the impersonalists and actually it's written that they are going to hell. So, Brahmavadis and Mayavadis are two types of impersonalists, you can say. But the difference is, Brahmavadis who may worship or aspire for impersonal liberation, but they are not offensive. And there is a great chance that they will go further from their impersonal conception to the personal conception. But the Mayavadis, they are offenders. And that's what Mahaprabhu said. Always avoid hearing from Mayavadis. Because if you hear from them, your mind will be bewildered and contaminated. And their destination is hell for Mayavadis. But for Brahmavadis, they may advance. Like four Kumaras, they were Brahmavadis. They didn't go to hell. They attained personal conception. Shukdev Goswami, who is speaking this Bhagavatam, which is Krishna himself, and this literature is full of personal expression. He was a Brahmavadi in the beginning, but he didn't go to hell. He went to spiritual world. He was in ecstasy while reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it's especially mentioned about the impersonalists or the Mayavadis who think that when any manifestation of Supreme appears, any personal manifestation appears in this world, it is material. They think that's another form of matter. But ultimately, the topmost is Brahma Jyoti. So that's a false concept. We understand that Brahma Jyoti is dependent on the personal form of Krishna. That's the great understanding, the full understanding. So, the impersonalists, they go to hell. And the great, the materialists also go to hell. So that's why it is said the impersonal liberation is really derided by all devotees. If you lose your identity, you may be liberated, you may be out of this material world. But then you don't have your identity. You're just there. There is no service, no activity. So that's why devotees who are fully dependent on the personal form of Lord, they deride the concept of impersonal liberation. We have in 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna that those people who don't follow this Shastra, what they also have faith because they are living. Because if you lose faith in everything in this world, then you pretty much commit suicide. But those who are carrying on their life, they have faith in something, they have hope, some hope. But in 16th chapter, 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is said that there is divine faith and then demoniac faith. And Krishna explains that there are three types of faith. One in mode of goodness, mode of passion, and one in mode of ignorance. So according to the faith, you worship particular personality. Yajante sattvikan devan yaksha rakshansi rajasa pretan bhut ganashyani yajante tamasa jana. So those who are in mode of goodness predominantly, they worship the demigods. And then they want to go to their planets ultimately. If you worship demigods perfectly according to the scriptures, then you go to their planets. But those who are in mode of passion, they worship rakshasas and yakshas. They are other types of living entities. They are not supreme, but those who are in passion, they think we'll worship them and attain our desires. We'll fulfill our desires. And this most strange type of worship is a worship of ghosts and spirits. That's in mode of ignorance. So we see many people, youngsters, they dress in like ghostly dresses, black, and they have black marks on their face and strange hair styles. They pretty much look like ghosts. They'll go to the planets of ghosts. There are planets where ghosts live. There are many types of ghosts, goblins, and so many pishacha, bhuta, so many spirits. And we hear in Bhagavatam that great personality like Lord Shiva, he has mercy even on them. So they are always hanging around with Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva, he tries to give them a proper body. It's mentioned in third canto. Further on we'll see that how Lord Shiva awards, he tries to get a proper material body for these ghosts. So according to our nature, according to the mode we have acquired, we will worship a suitable personality. That's why sometimes it's hard for us to worship Krishna fully. So beginning devotees find it difficult to go on and on year after year, because we are in those modes. So that's why we think, why should we continue worshipping Krishna? It's so hard. Actually, it's very simple. It's natural for a soul to worship Krishna. Jivera swarup hoy Krishnera nitya das. We are Krishna's servants. So on the spiritual platform, it's very simple. You are soul, so you worship the super soul. It's very simple. But because we are affected by different modes, that's why it becomes very hard over a period of time. Just these four simple or five simple instructions that Prabhupada gave. Just chant 16 rounds, at least minimum 16 rounds, and follow four regulative principles, and you can go back to Godhead. So he has given very simple program. But because, especially in Kali Yuga, there's so much pressure of these three modes, so we will find it very difficult to worship Krishna. So that's why it's important to associate with the personalists and hear from them about Krishna. Then we can keep ourselves in this fire of devotion, and we can keep worshipping Krishna. Because time is so pressing, because our bodies won't be healthy all the time. Sometimes we'll be healthy, sometimes we'll be sick. And then we may tend to blame Krishna, and we won't be enthusiastic in serving Krishna. So time is so pressing that everyone is affected. In this whole universe, from lowest planet to the highest planet, everyone is affected by time. In 10th canto, we hear about King Muchukunda. He was an earthly king, but he was so powerful that one time the demigods asked him to help them. So previously, in previous ages, even people with human forms of earthly planet, they could go to the heavenly planets within this body. They were so powerful. So he went there and he fought for so many years for demigods. And then they thanked him. And later I think they got their own commander-in-chief, Kartikeya. So then they said, you can go back now, but you can ask a benediction. So he said, I want to sleep. I really want to sleep. And please give me a benediction that whoever wakes me up, he'll be burnt by fire emanating from my eyes. Because he was actually afraid of Indra. He was thinking Indra may come and wake me up and again ask me to fight. So then they said, okay, we'll grant you this benediction. So he was sleeping in one of the caves. Nice sleep. So it's very important for devotees also to have nice sleep. Because Bhagavad Gita says that if you sleep too less, it's not good. If you sleep too much, it's not good. So it has to be just in right amount. So that's very important. Because in the name of service, sometimes what happens, we become over enthusiastic and we may lack sleep. We may be sleeping little less. So that's a problem also. Because what happens is, there's two things. I'll come back to the story of Mochakunda. What happens is, we don't want to face reality. In material world, no one wants to face reality. That's why they either become alcoholic, they take a lot of alcohol and drugs, so that they forget the real problems that they have to face. Or they become workaholic, they work, so many hours in office, so that they don't have to face the reality. So when we come to devotional life, we may have same mentality. Oh, I want to do service, sleep doesn't matter, health, we don't care about health. So that's not very good. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, we have to balance our eating, sleeping, recreation and work. We have to balance. And too much sleep is also not good. Then we'll be lazy, we'll waste human form of life. Human form of life is for self-realization. If we sleep too much, we are wasting time. So we have to be very intelligent in order to place different activities, different tasks in our life so that we don't waste time. So, coming back to Mochakunda. So now he was sleeping in the cave. And then another place, there was a war about to happen, and then there was Kalyavana, this great demon. He wanted to fight with Krishna. So Krishna was running away from him. So was he very fearful from Kalyavana? No, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is supremely powerful. He is not afraid of anyone. But why he was running away was because he thought he is very low type of a demon. He didn't even want to be touched by him, didn't want to touch him actually. So he knew that how to kill him. Actually, fight has to be among equals. That's why when Krishna kills someone, he is like a special demon. He doesn't kill anyone and everyone directly. He lets his, you know, time, energy, Kala Shakti, deal with others. But he kills like big demons, Putna and, you know, Jarasandha. Jarasandha not directly, but yeah, big demons. And all the avatars also, when they fight, like Varahadev, when he fought with Hiranyaksha, there was a big fight. Because that's what Krishna wants. He wants some excitement. If an elephant fights with an ant, it's no contest there. You know, even in material world, we see when there's like boxing matches, there are different weight categories, right? There's featherweight, heavyweight, medium weight. There's different, like 5, 6. How many categories do you know, bro? No, there's around 5 to 7 categories of weights. We don't see heavyweights fighting with featherweights, you know. So same way Krishna, when he wants to fight, he wants like real demons, very powerful ones. So he didn't want to even touch Kalyavana. He was Muchi, Yavana, Kalyavana. He didn't want to even touch him. So then he ran and Kalyavana was chasing him, and Krishna entered this cave where Muchukunda was sleeping. And then Krishna hid in a corner, and when Kalyavana entered the cave, then he saw a person lying down and he thought that's Krishna. He said, "Oh, Krishna is just hiding from me," and he kicked him, and then Muchukunda woke up and he burned to ashes with the flames emanating from his eyes. He burned to ashes this demon Kalyavana. So that shows that how Krishna is supreme and he has a plan for everyone. So Krishna knows what's going to happen in future, what happened in past, and what's happening in present. So if we just follow Krishna's instructions as presented in these scriptures, then we can understand how this time is working. And so this was one statement made by King Muchukunda, that so many years passed, he was speaking, and he said, so many years have passed, and I forgot about time. He was fighting for demigods. He said, I forgot about time, but time did not forget me. So this is the thing. This is how material energy works. Things are manifested and then they will be unmanifested. So we have to plan accordingly. So if in this life we can understand how Krishna is personal, how he is interacting with all his devotees, then we have a lot of faith on Krishna. There's a pastime, actually, for past 2 days, Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj gave very nice lectures about Vaishnavas, how they are real heroes. So one pastime he was mentioning about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached a place called Remuna, and there he took darshan of Gopinath, Kshirchor Gopinath Diti. And there we see that how Lord reciprocated. And further, actually, after that pastime happened, Mahaprabhu went with Nityanand Prabhu and other devotees further towards Jagannath Puri. And then they reached a place where Sakshi Gopal Diti was there. Then Nityanand Prabhu, who had already visited that place earlier on his pilgrimage, he actually knew the story of Sakshi Gopal. So he started relating that pastime. So we know that many people, especially in the when you reach your age of 50 and above, so you start going to pilgrimages. Because once you enter Vanaprastha Ashram, it says Vanaprastha means go to Vana. So actually it means you visit holy places. The husband and wife together can go visit holy places, spend more time in reading and discussing about Krishna from the scriptures. So one time Nityanand Prabhu, also he was very young, he went with a senior sannyasi. He was visiting many holy places and he visited that place where Sakshi Gopal was there. So he started telling this story of Sakshi Gopal. So most devotees know about that story. So in that story, actually the deity of Gopal, who was in Vrindavan, he walked to the place in Orissa. So that was very strange. Actually, deity walked to a place near Vidyanagar with these two Brahmanas who went to pilgrimage to Vrindavan. They were from a place called Vidyanagar in South India. And the elder Brahmana promised this younger Brahmana that I will give you my daughter. But the younger Brahmana didn't believe him. He said, you won't, because you belong to a very high class family and I am just a poor low class Brahmana. I mean, all Brahmanas are high class, but even among them there is gradation. So he said, you are very rich and aristocratic, well known, your family line is very popular, but I am not from such a aristocratic family, although he was also a Brahmana. So I don't believe you that you will give me your daughter. But the elderly Brahmana, he said, no, see, this Gopal deity is witness, I will give you my daughter. But he said, you may want to give, but your family members won't agree. And he gave the example of Rukmini. He said, Rukmini's father, Bhishma, wanted Krishna to marry his daughter, but Rukmini's brother, Rukmi, he didn't want that. And that's why there was a great problem. So same way, your family members may not agree. And he said, doesn't matter, my daughter is my property. I have given her to you, so don't worry. So then later, when he came back, as the younger Brahmana had predicted, same thing happened. The son of that elderly Brahmana said, how can you even think about that? We can't give our sister to that Brahmana. He's a low class Brahmana. So then the younger Brahmana, he called all the villagers. And then it was decided that if that deity agrees to come here and speak, then we will believe. And it happened. You know, deity came and you know, deity was the witness, and witness means Sakshi. So that's why the deity was called Sakshi Gopal. So these are the personal, this is the personal reciprocation of Krishna. So why we hear these stories? Because that brings faith. Because we are lacking faith in Krishna. Because we don't see deities reciprocating with ourselves. So when we hear these stories from Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita and other scriptures, so then we have a lot of faith that no, Krishna reciprocates with us. If we are sincere, Krishna will reciprocate. If we just keep doing our service towards Krishna, then he will reciprocate. So that's the great faith. And if we don't have faith in Krishna, then that's what Brahma is saying here. Those who are destined to be dispatched to the path of hell neglect your personal form. So if we don't believe in personal form of Krishna, believing in personal form of Krishna means having faith in his personal reciprocation. If we don't have that, or if we don't try to develop that, then we'll be dispatched to the path of hell. And it's not very pleasant in hell. If some those who you have read 5th canto, there's this description of different hellish planets. And it's not very pleasant there. In no hell, it's very distressful. In one hell, there's the floor, the ground is made of copper, I think, and it's very hot. And the sun is scorching on top. So there's nowhere to sit or stand. So the person there, he sometimes runs. So then his feet from the bottom, the soles of feet, they are burning. So then he sometimes sits down, then he gets up and runs, and it's like that. And there are other beautiful descriptions about other hellish planets. So we don't want to go to hell. And here Brahma says, if you have impersonal conception, you'll go to hell. So we need to develop this personal conception of Krishna. And how we develop this is, how we recognize this personal form of Krishna is by serving Krishna. So we have to take our service, whatever it may be. It may be very small service, once a week, once in 2 weeks. But we should be very serious about it. We should do it in the best possible way. So that's our personal expression. And then, ye yatha mam prapadyante tan svatai bhajamyaham. If we do our service sincerely, then Krishna will reciprocate sincerely. So that's the message given here in Bhagavatam. So I'd like to end there, because there is Harinam today in Bendigo. I was asked to stop by 8:30. So we have another 5 minutes for questions or comments. Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. sleeping place for the soul. Soul seems to, the mental activities of the soul seems to exist like in deep sleep. When we sleep, we are not aware that we are individual souls. We are not aware what's happening around us. It's like a deep sleep for the soul. That's why it says it's like a hell for the soul, because the soul is Ananda Maya Vyasa, always searching for this. And the rasa for the soul is the relationship with Krishna and with other deities, of course through Krishna. So when the soul lacks this in Brahmajyoti, then it's like a hell for the soul. So it's not, I just wanted to say, it's not only personal stand up. And there are two types of impersonalists, Mayavadis and Brahmavadis.
Yeah, I think you came late. Exactly the same thing I mentioned in the first part of lecture, the difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. And yes, you said right that impersonal feature is like hell itself. Kaivalyam narkayate, as Prabodhaman Saraswati has said. Thank you. Any other question or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, that's different. So what he talks about here, because this verse mentioned in the purport is Dipachireva hi dashantaram abhyupetya. So that refers to all the other incarnations, Yuga avatar, you know, Guna avatar, not exactly Guna avatar, but Leela avatars, like Ram, Narsingha, Varaha. But universal form is different. That's a temporary form. So, yeah. So that's not included in that list. Stithpatru? Yeah, still it's not like fully, I mean, but still he's satisfied to some degree, you know, but still, even the greatest material demon, you know, can't be equal to Krishna in any way. Like Hiranyakashipu, he was controlling the universe at one stage. He had defeated all the demigods. They would shiver at the sight of him. But still, when Narasimha Dev was fighting with him, it was like, you know, cat just playing with a mouse. But still, the cat enjoys that, you know. Then plays with the mouse a little bit and then tears it apart, you know. So, yes. So, but real fights that Krishna enjoys, it's in the spiritual world. There also there are demons. But when he fights with his cowherd boyfriends, that's like, they considered we are equal to Krishna. And Krishna is also under Yogmaya. So that time it's like a real fight. And sometimes he loses. So that's actually even more fun. Yeah, so actually demons cannot come anywhere near to Krishna's strength. But still, he enjoys that just like cat and mouse. Any other question or comment?
So, why sometimes the impersonalists and Mayavadis are called transcendentalists compared to the atheists?
Yeah, they are called transcendentalists. But more specifically, you would call Brahmavadi a transcendentalist because he sincerely follow the transcendental path. But Mayavadis you cannot exactly call transcendentalists because they are offenders. They are thinking that the Brahma Jyoti is highest, and when some incarnation comes, that's a material form. So they are not exactly transcendentalists. They are like that. So they never reach even Brahmajyoti. They go to hell. That's what it's mentioned here. So you can't call them exactly the transcendental. Any other question or comment? Yes, Guru. Yeah, sometimes what happens is they may recognize that there is Krishna's form is there, but they are more attracted somehow from within the heart to the impersonal conception. And that's why if they are sincere, they may aspire for impersonal liberation. But if they are sincere, they keep going further. Like four Kumaras, they were sincere, although they were Brahmavadis. But as soon as there was some impulse for personal reciprocation, when they smelled the fragrance of Tulsi from the lotus feet of Vishnu, Narayan, they further advanced. Yeah. So they knew they were Brahmavadis, but they understood there is Narayan, he is Supreme Lord. But they were just not fully attracted. But then suddenly they got attracted. Something happened in their heart and they went, because they were sincere. Okay, so I think we should end here. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Yeah.